So we're going to hear four Bible readings. Adam's going to read them for us, and he's going to bring the first one now.
The first reading is from Matthew 21, and it's verses 12 to 17, which is on page 989. Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "my house will be called a house of prayer, but you're making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when he saw the chief priests and the teachers of the law, saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple area, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you never read, 'From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise?'" And he left them and went out into the city of Bethany, went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night.
This is a reading from the Iona community. It was on the Monday that religion got in the way. An outsider would have thought that it was a pet shop's fire sale, and the outsider in some ways wouldn't have been far wrong, only it wasn't household pets, it was pigeons that were being purchased. And it wasn't a fire sale, it was a rip-off stall in a holy temple bartering birds for sacrifice. And the price was something only the rich could afford. No discounts to students, pensioners, disabled types, and those on job seekers' allowance. And then he, the holiest man on earth, went through the bizarre bazaar like a bull in a china shop. So the doves got liberated, and the pigeon sellers got angry, and the police went crazy, and the poor people clapped like mad because he was making a sign that God was for everybody, not just for those who could afford him. He turned the tables on Monday, the day that religion got in the way. Let's pray. If we have used your house for our purposes, as if you didn't mind or it didn't matter, Lord, forgive us. If we have cosseted your house in tradition rather than hallowed it by prayer, Lord, forgive us. If we have made it a house for one nation or part of a nation or for part of the church, Lord, forgive us. And if we can see clearly the misuse others make of your house and are blind to our own malpractices, Lord, forgive us. Kindle in us and in all your people the desire to make all your sanctuaries the shop windows of heaven, rather than religious theme parks on earth. We ask this for your own name's sake. Amen.
Matthew 21, continuing from verse 18. Early in the morning, as he was on his way back to the city, he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it, but found nothing on it except leaves. Then he said to it, "May you never bear fruit again." Immediately the tree withered. When the disciples saw this, they were amazed. "How did that fig tree wither so quickly?" they asked. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. If you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself into the sea,' and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer." Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. "By what authority are you doing these things?" they asked. "And who gave you this authority?" Jesus replied, "I will also ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or from men?" They discussed it among themselves and said, "If we say from heaven, he will ask, 'Then why didn't you believe him?' But if we say from men, we are afraid of the people, for they will all hold that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." Then he said, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things."
Two paradoxes there, alive but dead. That was the fig tree, which of course was emblematic of the temple that Jesus was going to. He was on his way to it, and he went to the fig tree. He obviously fancied some figs for breakfast. Very nice too. But the fig tree was barren. It had no fruit on it. The whole purpose of the tree was bearing fruit. It was alive, but it wasn't fulfilling its purpose. It was not bearing fruit. It was alive, but dead. And in much the same way, the temple was rather like that. It was supposed to be about God, and it was full of busyness. But where was the life, the real life, the true life of God? Here's another reading from Iona. The first one was called "It Was on a Monday," so it won't surprise you that this is called "It Was on a Tuesday." "It was on a Tuesday that it gave it to them in the neck. If you'd have been there, you would have thought that a Tory MP was being taken to task by a group of Labour militant supporters, or that the chairman of a multinational corporation was being interrogated by activists posing as shareholders. They wanted to know why, and they wanted to know how. They were the respectable men, the influential men, the establishment. The questions they asked ranged from silly schoolgirl speculations about whether you would be a bigamist in heaven if you had married twice on earth, or what was the central rule of civilized behavior. They knew the answers already, or so they thought, otherwise they would never have asked the questions. And like most of us, they were looking for an argument with no intention of a change of heart. So he flailed them with his tongue. Those who tried to look interested but never wanted to be committed. And that was on the Tuesday, the day when he gave it to them, to us, in the neck. You're asking the wrong questions. I think it was Cardinal Cormac Murphy O'Connor, I always have to be careful how I say that, Cardinal Cormac Murphy O'Connor, the former Cardinal Archbishop of Westminster, who said, people make a mistake. The church does not have all the right answers. But true to the spirit, we may have all the right questions. And perhaps the question that Jesus was waiting for was, can you show us this God? Can you tell us about the love of God? Can you tell us about what God wants to do in our world? But they were asking all the questions that filtered out the great answers that might have been, and that were often shared with simple people through parables and through generous and compassionate acts. Now let's listen to Wednesday. Thank you, Adam.
Matthew 26, verse 6 onwards. While Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. Why this waste? They asked. This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor. Aware of this, Jesus said to them, why are you bothering this woman? She's done a beautiful thing for me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. I tell you the truth, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked, what are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you? So they counted out for him 30 silver coins. From then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over.
Well, how do we know that it was Wednesday, you will be asking? Because Mark's Gospel tells us that the anointing happened 2 days before the Passover. But then you knew that. In one of the other Gospels, it's actually Judas who says, this is a waste of money. Couldn't we do something else with this? Interesting that, given that it is that the story of the anointing is immediately followed by the story of the betrayal. There's a bit of paradox going on here. This woman is saying to Jesus, to you. I just want to give it to you. And Judas is saying to the authorities, I'll give him to you for me. You need to give something to me. Remember the Chuckle Brothers? I'm sure Adam will remember the Chuckle Brothers. And you know, they're father and son. They're not brothers at all. The little one's the dad and the big one's the son. Anyway, they you know, had that thing that they could never move anything because they were always saying, to you, to me, to you, to me, and they could never agree on where to move the ladder or the wardrobe or whatever it was. There's one of these ways that is the right way. and it's the way of the woman with the expensive oil. It was on the Wednesday they called him a waster. The place smelled like the perfume department of a big store. It was as if somebody had bumped their elbow against a bottle and sent it crashing to the floor, setting off the most expensive stink bomb on earth. But it happened in a house, not a shop. And the woman who broke the bottle was no casual afternoon shopper. She was the penniless poorest of the poor, giving away the only precious thing she possessed. And he sat still while she poured the liquid all over his head, as unnecessary as aftershave on a full crop of hair and a bearded chin. And those who smelled it, and those who saw it, and those who remembered that he was against extravagance, called him a waster. They forgot that he also was the poorest of the poor. And they who had much and who had given him nothing objected to a pauper giving him everything. Jealousy was in the air when a poor woman's generosity became an embarrassment to their tight-fistedness. That was on the Wednesday when they called him a waster.
Matthew 26, beginning from verse 36. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, Sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. He went away a second time and prayed, My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer.
Overwhelmed with grief. away from me. Yet not my will, but yours. Yet not my will, but yours. To know each friend will fall away, and heaven's voice be still. For hell to have its vengeful day upon Golgotha's hill. No words describe the Savior's plight, to be by God forsaken, till wrath and love are satisfied, and every sin is paid, and every sin is paid.
Just be still for a moment. Heavenly Father, it was for us that he fell to his knees. And poured out his heart. in prayer for the world he had come to save. So aware was he of what he had to do that he even questioned whether this was your will, Father. But knowing the answer from the beginning, said, not my will, but yours. And he went from that place carrying the sins of the world that would be on his shoulder, weighing him down until he breathed his last. And declared, it is finished. And as he died, the world's sin died with him. Lord, forgive us as the fallen people we are. That we do not choose to live in the fullness of that freedom and life that he won for us. Too often return to our sinful ways. And we look around the world and we see its corruption and its darkness and its desperation, and we call out, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. For we live in the now but not yet of the kingdom, where the kingdom is still working its way out, but the day will come. When evil is defeated, sin is deprived of its oxygen, and all will be one with your Father heart. So we pray for ourselves, our families, our friends, the people we work with, the people we see but do not know, the people we know but who do not see you. And we pray that you will strengthen us again in this Holy Week at Eastertide. Strengthen us in our knowledge of the gospel and in our desire to share it, that the glory may be yours, Father, for all that your Son, Jesus Christ, has done. And in whose name we pray the prayer, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.